Adventures in Research. There is science at your fingertips. Look at your fingertips. Those little ridges and bumps make your fingerprints distinctive from any others. For the chances of identical fingerprints are estimated at 1 in 65 billion. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. Today it is the thrilling story of fingerprinting, the science of dactyloscopy, which puts science at your fingertips. In 1850, the East India Company was very much impressed with the work of one of its young men.
Yes?
Your Lordship, Mr. Herschel is here.
Ah, yes, yes. Send him in at once.
Not your appointment with the Chancellor.
Never mind about that. This is important. Send Mr. Herschel in at once, you hear?
Yes, sir. His Lordship will see you now, Mr. Herschel.
Ah, Mr. Herschel, come in, come in. Sit down, sit down.
Thank you, Your Lordship.
Have a cigar.
Oh, thank you.
Light? Yeah. There you are. Mr. Herschel, I will proceed to the matter at hand. The board of the East India Company is most pleased with your work in the colonies. Most pleased.
Your Lordship is too kind.
I tell you, young man, that your books are nothing short of amazing. Yes, I say amazing, and I am not a man given to undue praise. Your record with the East India Company has given us one of the tidiest profits we've ever had at that post. And the company is always interested in profits, eh? But to the meat of the matter, young man. You've been with the East India Company for how long?
5 years, since 1853. Mm-hmm.
And an excellent record you have. We've checked your accounts and we are amazed. Yes, sir, amazed. And I am a man who uses that word advisedly, that your liabilities were so small. Why, your predecessor had several thousand pounds in debts outstanding. Goods purchased by the natives that were never paid for. And you, by Godfrey.
I imagine the company would like to know how I managed it. To use the same method at other East India Company stores.
Now, sir, you have reached the nub of the matter. Yes, sir.
I don't imagine you have ever read some travel notes by Suleiman, Your Lordship.
Eh? No. The classics are good enough for me. Swift, Pope.
Oh, Suleiman is a classical author, too. Mm. He did his writing in 850 A.D. 1,000 years ago, if you please. There are a series of travel notes he composed while traveling to faraway places.
Excuse me, but I am slightly mystified. What has this...
An Arabian merchant.
This merchant who wrote some tosh 1,000 years ago, what does that to do with your amazing record of lessening the liabilities?
In his writings, Suleiman reported that Chinese merchants had a method of taking thumbprints of their debtors so they could identify those who owed them for goods.
Aha. Uh-huh. Thumbprints, you say?
Exactly, Your Lordship. And that gave me an idea. With most of the store's customers being illiterate natives, why not use the same system to identify our debtors?
These thumbprints were all different?
That's right, Your Lordship. And by so identifying our illiterate customers, I was able to keep our losses to a minimum.
By Godfrey, young man, that's genius. And I am not a man to bandy compliments needlessly. Mr. Herschel, mark my words. Keep this sort of thing up and you'll be knighted. Yes, sir, knighted.
Indeed, William Herschel was later knighted for his services. And so fascinated was he by the telltale smudges of the customer's fingers that he gave up business to study them scientifically. And others studied this fascinating new science and contributed to its progress. Sir Francis Galton, first criminologist to systematize fingerprints, calculated the chances of identical prints at 1 in 65 billion. And Lee Seymour declared that if two prints were identical in 10 details, chances were 1,562,000 to 1 that the same finger made them. And by 1907, the study of fingerprints had made such headway that...
Ah, Lieutenant Faro. We called you as soon as we found the shop broken into.
Yeah.
much was taken.
A pretty good haul, Lieutenant. That's why we called you right away, before the reporters got here and started touching things.
Yes, you remember my instructions. Nothing must be touched. How did the criminal gain access?
He got in through the door, jimmied the lock, turned the knob, and...
You found the door open?
Just the way you see it, Faro.
Doorknob untouched. Très bien. Now, if the gods are with Faro, we may have our criminal.
Lieutenant, does this have anything to do with that ink pad you've been using?
Let us hope so. I have been taking prints of the fingers of every suspect we have received for 6 months. Now, if I can get a satisfactory print of the one who turned this doorknob, little powder on the knob, like this, then, we blow it off.
Say, look right there, Lieutenant. That looks something like those ink stains you've been getting.
And it remains only to see if this print compares with any of the prints we have on file.
For the first time in the history of criminology, the courts in our country accepted in 1907 the fingerprints found at the scene of the crime as evidence. Two European scientists, Stokas and Aubert, pushed the scientific investigation of fingerprints still further and found that
the natural moisture of the hand causes the prints to soak through materials like wood, paper, cloth, any absorbent material. These prints lie latent there and can be raised back to the surface by applying silver nitrate to the material. The chemical combines with the sodium crystals secreted in the moisture of the hand that made the print, thus precipitating silver chloride. The print again becomes apparent.
Thus, the science of fingerprinting seemed well on its way. Not only could it trap violators of the law and serve as identification, but even old prints could be erased on certain objects. Then the youthful science of dactylology received a serious setback.
Nylum, why don't you confess? Your fingerprint was found on the windowsill of the house.
But I tell you, I was not in Copenhagen that day. I was visiting my cousins. I've told you that how many times. I could not have robbed the house. I was not here in Copenhagen.
Captain?
Yes, what is it?
We've just checked Nyholm's alibi. He's telling the truth. He was not in Copenhagen that night.
What? But how did his thumbprint get on the windowsill?
The Copenhagen police released Nyholm, but still wondered about the strange thumbprint. Then, a few years later, another robbery. And this time, Nyholm's right thumbprint was found on a bureau drawer. Nyholm was sentenced to 2 years hard labor. But the Copenhagen police received a letter from a conscience-stricken criminal.
I read with remorse that my friend Nyholm was sentenced, for he did not rob the houses. It was I. My name is Gustav Malerin, an engraver by trade. The thumbprint I left at the scenes of the crimes was one I made myself. I tricked Nyholm into squeezing a piece of putty and used it as a cast from which I made a zinc plate. I am enclosing a bracelet which I stole 2 weeks ago after Nyholm was imprisoned. You will find thereon his right thumbprint. I am sorry for involving an innocent man and must tell the truth, for I cannot...
Nyholm was released, and Malerin took his place. But the science of fingerprinting had received a nasty blow. If fingerprints could be forged, they were valueless. In 1918, Dr. Erastus Mead Hudson, doctor by vocation, fingerprint expert by avocation, called in a group of experts.
Gentlemen, someone has been tampering with the drawer of my desk. I have fingerprinted the office personnel, and today I found a print on the drawer. You'll examine it and see if it compares with any of these prints.
Oh, here, yes. This print and the one on the drawer.
You're right. They match in every detail.
Evidence of plenty if you care to prosecute, Doctor.
Oh?
Gentlemen, do you think you would swear to that in a court of inquiry?
Certainly. Positive, yes.
Don't be too certain. You see, that print on the desk drawer, I placed there myself. I made a photo engraving of my secretary's index finger, filled the mold with a patented substance called Negacol. It's a new material for molding, contains some 50 ingredients. Chief among them is agar. At any rate, I obtained, as you see, a perfect three-dimensional replica. I then rubbed it on my own palm for moisture and pressed it on the desktop.
Great guns, Doctor. You mean that fingerprints can be falsified as simply as that?
Even simpler, Mr. Maloney. I've made up an assortment of false fingers to which I can attach any prints that I desire. I could transfer them to a drinking glass merely by pressing them upon it.
But, Doctor, what a criminal mind could do if he possessed such instruments.
Precisely. By solving a problem, I have posed another. Can fingerprints be falsified? Yes. Can we prevent it? Gentlemen, I hope so. I shall continue experimenting.
Already, the doctor's amazing discovery had caused repercussions. And before very long...
Dr. Hudson, I understand you're working on a method to make forging of fingerprints easily detected.
Commissioner, I have been doing just that for quite a while. Trying to detect some method of discovering accurately whether a print is forged or real.
Something had better be done, Doctor. You're aware we're trying to fingerprint the entire population of New York City to make identification easy and simple, aid the Missing Persons Bureau and all that. But the entire drive has been stalled. Honest citizens have found out that fingerprints can be forged and won't run the risk. And I can't say as I blame them.
Commissioner, I believe we have the answer. Salt. Man's perspiration is full of it. A fingerprint, no matter how old, retains certain particles of sodium chloride. When I forge the prints as a test, I rub the imprint on my palm to obtain the necessary moisture. But it is not enough. Commissioner, if my tests continue, I believe we have the answer. A sure way to detect real from forged fingerprints. Perspiration.
Dr. Hudson was right. Chemical tests now distinguish between forged and real prints. But Hudson went further, continued his constant research in the art and science of fingerprinting.
Gentlemen, into a trough of a miniature clothes roller, I pour a solution of 2.1 silver nitrate. Now, I pass the roller through the roller my own handkerchief. Now, we shall dry it by artificial light, expose it to ultraviolet rays, and the result, my fingerprints will appear on the surface of the handkerchief, incisive as a dry point etching.
This system for mining latent prints is now employed by almost every up-to-date police bureau. Dr. Hudson showed how the fibers of ransom and blackmail notes, forged checks and documents hold prints. Nor could criminals any longer protect themselves with gloves. Fingerprints all too often sweat right through them. Thanks to Dr. Hudson and the men of science who preceded him, the fingerprint remains today one of the surest aids in identification, finding the one right man out of every 65 billion. And that's today's Adventure in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratory. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.